If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Well, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. In chapter 20 here of Exodus, I'll read these verses for us tonight. And you can follow along there to yourself, and I'll read out loud. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So thus far, we have made it all the way now to commandment number 9. And I know you're so excited about that. And next week, Lord willing, we'll cover commandment number 10. And you say, good, then we'll be done with the 10 commandments. Well, maybe not. Okay? So we're still determining that. But I do hope that the overall sentiment that has been illustrated, that has been proven and shown in Scripture, has affected your daily life. That's my hope and that's my prayer. Also, I hope that this study so far in the Ten Commandments has affected your relationship with God. I hope that it has. I also hope that this study in the Ten Commandments has affected your relationship with other people. Okay? Because it should affect our relationship with not only God, but with those around us. Because as we have a better relationship with God, we ought to have a better relationship with those around us. You know, it just kind of all works together to make us what God wants us to be. People kind of focus on, well, the Ten Commandments are just a whole list of things that tells me what I can't do. Okay, if you want to look at it as simple as that, that's your business. But I see things at a whole different level then, okay? Because there is so much to what this is all about. It's not just a list of rules. I was talking with somebody recently, and at one time somebody asked me a question. They said, well, what is your church's rule on such and such? Well, I said, we really don't have a rule on it, if you will. We go by the Bible guidelines and principles of what this particular thing says and is about. And I said, but as far as a rule goes, we don't really have a rule for that. And it had to do with dress and modesty, etc. As far as a rule, I said, really, it's more of not just a rule or the letter of the law. It's about conviction. What is my conviction on the matter? Am I going to line up with and agree with God's principles on the matter of modesty and separation? Or am I going to just say, well, that's a rule? Because here's the thing. The people that say it's just a rule, they're just looking at the letter of the law. They're saying, well, you're making me obey this thing. You're making me do this thing. Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to go with a conviction and say, I accept this thing that God asks of me, and this is what I want to do. That's what we need to get. Where are the people of God that are going to say, hey, God's not making me not have any other gods before Him. I don't have any other gods before God. He's my God. See, that's the difference between a rule and a conviction. You know, graven images? Not an issue. I have no problem with it because I only have God in my life. So I don't need to bow down to anything else. I don't need to carve any kind of other graven image, etc. You know what? Talking about God and taking His name in vain, God is important to me so much to the point it's not just a rule that I don't curse using His name, but I would never think of doing so because He's my God and I love Him. And His name is special. His name is above all names. And I have accepted that. I've taken it as my own. So it's not just a rule. It's a conviction. It's a matter of faith and practice. This is what the Ten Commandments ought to mean to us as the people of God. Talking about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy as far as taking a day of rest. And you know what? That ought to be important to us. Why? Because it's important to God. It's not a rule per se. It ought to become and be a conviction in our life. Are we going to live the way God wants us to live, willingly and of our own accord? Or are we going to be griping and complaining that we're under the thumb of a tyrant and a dictator who's making us do all these things? Do you see the difference of what I'm explaining? That's why there's a lot of people out there that have a problem with local, independent, fundamental Baptist churches. Because we're strong on these issues. We're strong on these things because they mean something to us, and people take them as rules, and they take them that we're under the heel and the foot of this group of people, and finally I've gotten out of that and I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, when you go out and say that and have that attitude, we know who you really are. And it's as simple as that. You're one that was always made to do something, or it was the rules of the church and it was never yours. It wasn't what you wanted to do. You know, when you're growing up and your parents have rules, there's these same two ways to think about it. And guess what? The rebellious, they buck against the rules. And the ones that accept their parents and accept that way of life, you know what? They're happy. Why? Because that's what brings happiness. That's what brings peace. That's what brings the blessings of God in our lives when we accept these things for our own. So those are just the things having to do with God and our relationship with Him. And then we've talked about how we ought to honor our father and mother. That's dealing with these human relationships that we have. And guess what? When you decide to do that, life with your parents will be a lot better. Let me talk to the kids. Life with your parents will be a lot better, kids. Because you have decided that, you know what? I'm going to please God. I have a good relationship with God. And I want to do what God says. And God says I should honor my mom and dad. And so that's what I'm going to do because I want to do that. It says here that thou shalt not kill. And we talked about that. That even includes hatred. That it includes that degree. Jesus said, it had been said of old time, thou shalt not kill. He said, I say unto you, right? Don't harbor hatred against folks for that. Because that's like killing them. It has to do with our spirit and our mind and not just with actually committing the act. And then we went on and talked about thou shalt not commit adultery. Hey, young people, listen. This is the super a hot topic of the day. It's in every area of life. This thing of moral purity is so very important. And you just got to decide, hey, I want to live the way God wants me to live, and that's what I want to do. Thou shalt not steal. We talked about that last week. We need to make sure that we are upright, that we have integrity. You know what? I should be able to in this day and time, I should be able... Ooh, look at there. I think I have $8. That's amazing. I should be able to just throw these around. Should I throw some over by you guys? Would that be nice? Does that make you feel happy? People throwing money? Huh? Okay. That was fun. Let's do it again. I should be able to have this money all around and not worry that it's going to be there later. Because there's a bunch of people that say, hey, you know what? That's not mine. I wouldn't even think of touching it. But in our day and time in our society today, it's all about, oh, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. But we got to set that aside and say, hey, I don't even want that money because it's not mine. And if God's going to give me something, He'll give it to me. If God's going to give something to my care and oversight, then He's going to do it. And you know what? We ought to live our lives. It shouldn't even be a second thought because it's who and what we're all about. God should have that kind of effect in our life through these Ten Commandments. Now, tonight's commandment that we're going to discuss, it goes deeper than the surface, just like all the rest of these commandments do. Look at verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, that seems pretty simple, right? This commandment is talking about how we deal with other people and in the way, in specific way, of our tongue, our mouth. The things that we say or that bearing witness, that is something, it says, do not, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now I want to focus on the fact that it says false witness. Now we'll get to the fact that it talks about thy neighbor, and that's just really any human being, not necessarily your physical homeowner next to you on one side or the other. Okay? But it's anyone that we come in contact with. But I hope that you understand that we need to make sure that what we do and the life we live and our thinking and our mentality is never false. Because guess what we have if we're born again? The truth. You see, it all has to do with our new life in Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth. For me as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, falsehood should not even exist in my members. Of any sort. How about that? So guess what? Lying has no place in my being. None. In my thoughts, in what I say, in my heart, in my being, this thing of falsehood, it says, thou shalt not. So, that's just be part of who I am. And kids, listen, As we grow up and as you learn and grow and you hopefully trust the Lord Jesus Christ at some point in your little lives, that's a wonderful thing. But after that point of trusting the Lord, things of that are false, that are not true, should never enter your mind and never cross your lips. That's where we should become, or that's where we should be as Christians as we grow. If those false things come to our minds and come to our mouths and come to our tongues and come to our heart, then all that signifies is that we're in the flesh and not in the spirit. And guess how God wants us to dwell? In the spirit, not in the flesh. So we've got to understand that this is where everything comes to. In John 8:44, which we were there this morning, we didn't get that far because of the time. And I do thank you for your patience. You sat there and let me keep talking and didn't get up and walk out. So that was a blessing. So, and I did cut it off a little short of where I was going to finish. But that's okay. I was way over time this morning and I appreciate your patience. But in John 8:44, as Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees and with these particular Jews that had believed on him, he says to them later on, as they're going back and having this debate about Abraham being their father, and Jesus is talking about them about not knowing the Father and all these things, he says this of them: "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So when Jesus said, or excuse me, when God says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," he's talking about lying. He's talking about lying. When one departs from the truth to tell a lie, you are in bad company. Because now you're back in company with the world, with the flesh, and with the father of lies, that old serpent, the devil. Is that the kind of company you want to keep? You say, "But Pastor, it's just a little white lie." Okay, I'm going to step out on a limb here and tell you that's the biggest lie ever told. Yeah, a little white lie. It won't hurt anyone. Yeah, exactly. Whenever you travel down that path, it's a long path and a very difficult one. We want to make sure that we realize that lies are not acceptable with God, no matter how small or great. Why? Because it's not the truth. It's not the truth. It's a false witness. Last I checked, and even according to what Jesus said in our sermon this morning, that his father and he are truth. And their witness is true. That's where we need to have our witness, is in the truth and not in falsehood. In 1 John, we talked about this morning. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know what's associated with deception? False witness. Lies. Deceit. That's what all, they're all in the same category. It says, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Really? You want to go down that road and say that God and Jesus are liars? I don't want to be in that category. I wouldn't be caught dead there, if you will. And you know what? He says, and if we do that, his word is not in us. Well, see, that makes perfect sense, because the Bible says that the Bible, the word of God, is truth. And we're supposed to be sanctified by that truth. So, as we look into this thing for the next... Wow, praise God, I got 5 minutes per point. Amen. Here we go. Now, that was just the introduction to about thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Amen. Take your Bibles if you'd like to and turn over to Revelation 21. It ought to be easy to find. It's one of the last few chapters of the Bible. Okay, so Revelation 21. Look over there at verses 6 through 8. And of course, this is a record of the end of the time here as far as this world is concerned. If you look here at Revelation 21, and we're kind of introduced here to the new heaven and the new earth and all these things, we have this record in the scripture. And it's talking about all these things that's happening and taking place. And I want you to look here at Revelation and 21 and beginning in verse 5. Okay, it says this, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You understand that God hates lies. He hates it. And he hates it so much, he said, this is not going to be part of my world, of my kingdom, of where I am. He said, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to be a part of this stuff, then you can be my son. But these other things, no. And one of them is lying. Is lying. You understand that without Christ, we fall into that category. It's only by Jesus Christ that we can escape this. Because in and of ourselves and our own merits, we're human beings. And guess what human beings are? Remember John 8? We're liars. Because if we don't have Christ, our Father is not God. Our Father is the devil. And guess what he is? A liar. So what does that make us? Liars. Hey, just in case you are wondering, the Bible even talks about babies. You understand? What do they come from the womb doing? Yeah, they lie. How many of you have babies? Okay? Do they ever lie to you? Yeah. Because what do? Wah! And there's nothing wrong with them. They're clean. They've just eaten. You've even burped them. You've given them all their little toys and they have their little pacifier and everything. And still, wah! You know what they want? They want you to pick them up. They want you to rock them or hold them or whatever. And, so they lie to you. It's in our human nature, folks. And that's who we are. And without Christ, we're liars. You understand that salvation is the only thing that allows us to escape this fate. In and of myself, you know what I am? A liar. And if I live in the flesh, you know what I'm going to do? Lie. Because in me dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. And amen to that. So where do we need to dwell? In Christ. If we're not going to lie, if we're not going to bear false witness against our neighbor, where do we need to dwell? We need to dwell in Christ. We need to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Because God hates lies, He hates a lying tongue, and He hates liars. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. It's kind of right in the middle of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 6. We've kind of started at the beginning. We've gone to the end. Now we're going to go to the middle. Okay? Proverbs chapter 6. You guys are listening extremely well. We are on number 2. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. Solomon's writing here and he says this. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him. Okay, the best way I can explain that word abomination is it makes Him sick. Okay? So God, this is the ultimate in hatred. God hates a proud look. Proud look. Okay? What got the devil, if you will, kicked out of heaven? Pride. Right? That root sin of pride. So he says he hates a proud look. Look at the second thing that he hates. A lying tongue. A lying tongue. You know, folks, every time we tell a lie, the Bible says God hates that. He hates that. A lying tongue, bearing false witness. Look at the next one he says, and hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, I think we would all agree that that's terrible. We covered that, right? Thou shalt not kill. Okay, we understand that. All right, then it says here, as he goes on, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Huh. God hates that. He says he hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. Okay, God hates that. Look at the next one. A false witness that speaketh lies. You say, but Pastor, he already covered that one in number 2. Guess how much God hates this? Yeah. Look at the last one here. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, honestly and truly, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, that could be considered lies in such a way. But so can someone that sows discord among the brethren. Because what often is the tool of sowing discord? Lies. Stuff that's made up. Right? The backbiting, the rumors, different things. So, boy, there's a whole bunch of things that are covered here that God hates. And a lot of them have to do with falsehood, deceit, and lies. And stuff that's made up. What is stuff that's made up? It's lies. These things God says He hates. You understand? Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 12. If you'd like to, you can flip over there. It's just a few chapters over. Look at verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of them that imagine evil. Remember what it said back there? The things that God hates, the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Solomon associates that with lying and deceit. But to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Let me just ask you a question. Do you want to be to the place where your life and the way you behave yourself concerning your mind, your heart, your tongue, make God sick or make Him happy? I hope that we all want to make God happy. I hope that we all want to be a delight to God. How can we be a delight to God? Deal truly and we'll be a delight. Lie and we'll be an abomination. That's how serious this is. You say, but this is commandment number 9. It's not that serious. Yeah. It's in the top 10. Amen. It is serious. God hates it. If God hates it, I should hate it too. How about that? God loves something, I should love it. If God hates something, I should hate it. Why? Because I'm God's child. I'm supposed to be conformed to the image of His Son. I have a new life in Christ that I'm supposed to live, not the old life. And guess what? That's how I should live. And this thing of lying, being a false witness, or not being a false witness rather, is very important to us. Look at Proverbs 19. You're close by. Remember, these things are the record of Solomon, the wisest man that, and God gave him that wisdom, as far as humanly speaking goes. I want you to look at what it says here. Look at verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. Now, do you think of someone that's a liar as someone with integrity? I don't. Right? How many of you would say, yes, I will trust a liar? Anybody? No. It's tough. When I was a Christian school principal, and one of the students would lie to me, you know what I had to tell them? You're going to have to earn it back. The next time you tell me something, I'm not going to believe you right away. I just tell them flat out. If they lied to me and they said, well, I left my homework at home, or I forgot my homework, and they really just didn't do it, and I find out about it, I tell them, so look, the next time you tell me you forgot your homework at home, I'm not going to believe you. I said, you're going to have to build that trust back. You're going to have to earn it back. You're going to have to repair that and mend that relationship, because now, guess what? Because you told a lie, you're a liar. I can't trust. Folks, why is it any different with us? If a teacher is that way toward a student, well, why would we think anything different between our relationship with God? Or relationship with other people? We ought to guard our integrity. Anyways, look what it says here. It says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Okay, let's talk about perversion for just a second. Anything that, what is perversion? It's an altering of what's true or real, right? So what is a lie? Yeah, it's perversion. Because it's an altering. Hey, guess what that includes? Half-truths? Left-out truths? Remember the account between the devil and Eve? There are a lot of things that happened there that weren't a quote-unquote outright lie. But what were they? Adding to the truth? Taking away from the truth? And guess what that is? Lying. What is a half-truth? It's a lie. These things are the way it is. So it says here that they're fools. He says also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. I think I'm going to take the word of God on this one. And I think I'm going to be a little more careful about how I deal with this thing of being a false witness in my life. I think we all should take that card, folks. Because it's real. Kids, I want you more than anybody in this room to understand this thing of lying traps so many young people. And guess what? Once you start down that path, it's so difficult to overcome. So guess what? Don't start down that path. Always tell the truth. When they say honesty is the best policy, it is. It is. You say, but it's going to hurt if I tell the truth. Not as much as telling a lie will. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let him trick you. God says, thou shalt not. Don't do it. God promises punishment of liars. What do we read in Revelation 21? Yeah, exactly. The judgment of God against liars is such that God says, it is far better to live honest and truthful in poverty than to be a liar. It's better to be poor, hungry, without a home, without clothing. It's better to be starving and destitute, if you will, as far as those physical things go, and to have your integrity and to have honesty than to be a liar. God says that's better. So guess what? I'm going to believe God and realize that that's better. Now see, how did you guys do that? I was on point number 2, 8 minutes ago. Oh, I said I did make it to point number 4, so that's good. Very quickly. Lying is contradicting the truth. Lying can evade an answer. Lying is dissimulation and pretense. Lying is bearing false witness. Just go read the story of Joseph's life. There's a whole bunch of lying in that story. Between his brothers and Potiphar's wife. And it just goes on and on. This is all lying. When Joseph's brothers told their father about his coat, they were so deceptive. They said, we don't know if this is his coat or not, but we found this. Liars! Remember Potiphar's wife when Joseph said no and ran away and she kept his coat and she sat there and waited for her husband to get home with that coat in her hand. And she was all along devising what she was going to say to her husband. She lied about this young man that refused to sin against God. We're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Lying is also can be known as slander. Well, where has that gone in our country today? That used to be a crime. Now it's an everyday occurrence. Don't get into politics, kids. You know what politics are? It's just a bunch of lying. That's what it is. It's terrible. But when you say something about someone that's not true, that's lying. And especially if you have the intent to ruin them because of it. That's what slander is. It's a lie. In Psalm 31:18, David writes and says, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to ruin your life. And if he has to lie to do it, he'll lie. Doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. He hates you. He wants you destroyed. To slander a person is to speak or spread false statements that will harm a person's character or reputation. This is what Potiphar's wife did to Joseph. This is what the devil does to you to ruin
your testimony. He doesn't want you to have a good testimony in this world. Well, let me give you a few more verses and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes and says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So, listen, I love this. He makes that statement. Great statement, right? Everybody okay with this so far? Listen to the next thing he says. "Wherefore, putting away lying." I think that's so amazing. Out of all the things that he could say, out of all the sins that he could bring up, he says, even this, out of all the commandments that are listed here, these 10 commandments, he says that we as Christians, as learning Christ and have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth in Christ Jesus, and putting off the former conversation and putting off the old man and putting on the new man, he says, this is righteous, this is true holiness, wherefore putting away lying. That should just went. That should have just blown all your minds. Lying. Why didn't he say wherefore put away idolatry? Wherefore put away adultery? Wherefore put away this or that or stealing or murder? No, he said wherefore putting away lying. That's how big this commandment is. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, that's gonna bring this full circle tonight. And yes, I'm done. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In Romans, Paul says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." I can't say it any better than Paul did. That's what we're dealing with when we think of this commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.